Europe looks to China for help in its bolstering of its big bailout fund.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. Just a day after a big announcement to help the European debt crisis, the head of the Eurozone bailout fund is in Beijing today, asking for money to help raise the capacity of that fund by tens of billions of dollars. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London now. Hey, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
The bailout deal, of course, has been approved. How much of this deal depends on the Chinese?
Well, a key part of that rescue package, as you say, is to more than double the firepower of the bailout fund to $1.4 trillion. The Financial Times says the Chinese might invest more than $100 billion, though I should stress the head of the bailout fund says he's not talking hard numbers in Beijing at the moment.
Why do they need money from China?
Because that's where the money is, to adapt that Willie Sutton quote. The Chinese are believed to be sitting on more than $3 trillion worth of reserves, while the Europeans either cannot or will not put up more cash themselves. The Chinese, in fact, have already put some money into the bailout fund. However, China expert Kerry Brown of the Chatham House think tank says a request for a very much bigger sum might raise a few eyebrows in China.
You've got a kind of Eurozone where the per capita GDP is at least seven times what it is in China. And yet they're being asked to come and bail out, you know, Europe. And it's a perception issue. You know, it's the sort of idea that they are having to help out rich countries remain rich.
However, he thinks the Chinese will be willing to invest. Europe's their biggest export market. They don't want to see it implode. And they do want to diversify away from their very big holdings of US dollar assets.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mostly higher at the moment. Appliance maker Whirlpool said today profit doubled in its third quarter, but the company also said it's going to cut 5,000 jobs because of higher material costs and softer demand. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 339 points to close at 12,208. The stock market, of course, just one example of how reaction to a Greek debt deal can affect your investments. All this week, we're helping you understand why Greece is such a threat to the global economy and why you should care. John Spotto heads up the Century Financial Planning Firm in Massachusetts, and he's with us right now. Hey, John.
Hi, Steve.
What kinds of questions are your clients asking you about what's going on in Greece?
Right now, their biggest concern, as you might expect, is the effect that all of this is having on their investment portfolio, which, you know, includes obviously their retirement plans. And the big concern is, am I going to be okay? Will I be able to retire as planned? Will I be able to count on the money being there to help my child pay for college?
And what are you telling them, John?
These kinds of financial crises have occurred in the past. We've gotten through them. They will occur again in the future. And it is simply the price that we pay for investing and trying to earn better returns from the financial market, specifically the stock market.
But no doubt this stuff can be really scary, right, for people who have so much invested in their retirement or education savings plans?
Exactly. Understandably, it is. But the alternative of making short-term rash and, let's say, emotional decisions has just not proven to be an effective or profitable strategy.
How does a financial planner such as yourself, John, assess risks? You know, risks such as Greece in advance and shield your clients from it?
The only sensible way is explaining in advance, while we're helping them construct their portfolios, just how bad things can really get, to brace them for it, and then determine whether they've got the emotional ability and the financial capacity to be able to weather these downturns. If they're investing in stocks and they're doing so expecting a smooth ride, then they've really gotten into the market under false pretenses.
John Spotto, founder of Century Financial Planning. John, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Steve.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com.
Just a couple of hours ago, NASA launched a new $1.5 billion weather satellite from the California coast. The new equipment will help predict and even mitigate the cost of extreme weather events. Knowing more farther ahead of time could bring the eventual costs of those disasters down, Marketplace's Eve Trill reports.
Compared to a huge space shuttle launch, a weather satellite doesn't look so impressive, says Andrew Carson at NASA.
It's about 14 and a half feet long, so it's equivalent to a medium-sized SUV.
But the data that humble satellite transmits is invaluable, says scientist Mitch Goldberg at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. His lab calculated weather forecasts without satellites. Remember when Snowmageddon dumped more than 2 feet of snow on the East Coast? Without satellite data,
the forecast was only 7 to 10 inches of snow. So you can imagine what the big economic impact of that would be. I mean, you wouldn't be able to plan days in advance on how to mitigate severe snow events.
In addition to weather patterns, the satellite also carries new technology to measure land and sea temperature, ozone levels, crop productivity, and more. All that data is offered free to the public, and it's used to do everything from predicting droughts and disease to coming up with insurance rates. I'm Eve Troe for Marketplace.
And finally, I've heard of some colleges that offer classes at odd hours, but this is a new one. Classes that run after midnight. USA Today reports some community colleges are having a tough time with space and faculty, so teachers and students burn the midnight oil. A majority of students sign up because they have to work during the day or have other classes. But wouldn't you know it, a few of those who signed up got confused, thinking 12 o'clock a.m. was really noon. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The EU has spoken, and at least for now, Greece is back from the brink. But some of its citizens are still going to vote with their feet.
I know a lot of people, young adults such as myself, are actually going to colleges outside of Greece.
I'm Bob Moon. The Exodus, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.